This happened probably 15 years ago now, and I still have absolutely no explanation as to why it happened. So, I live in a really big city, and I'm an extrovert, which is perfect for me. I love going out and mingling with people. Despite living in a big city, it really has a nice community feel where I live, and this is what I've always craved my entire life. I work from home, so I get a little bit lonely, so being an extrovert, I go outside and mingle with people all around. I do this every day, and it's one of those things where everyone knows me and I know them. So, why what happened only happened to me, I don't know. So, one day, I just come back in after going out for a short break and chatting with some of the locals around the neighbourhood, and I sit down in my chair to finish the rest of my work. It's the time of day where it's dark, but not really dark. It's that level of brightness where if you're going to read a book, you need to turn a light switch on. All of a sudden, I can see this light flashing through my window against my wall. It's flashing through in a really rhythmic pattern, and I can't really figure out what it means or what is happening. I thought maybe there was some sort of police car outside, but I look outside and I don't see any police cars. Now, there's a row of bushes about 20 foot away from where I live. And from inside those bushes, I could see someone, vaguely in the distance, flashing a torch through my window in a rhythmic pattern. I don't know what it meant or why they were doing it. Maybe it was Morse code. I don't know. I bang on the window, and then I run outside and go shout at them and ask them what they're doing. But by this point, they were gone. It kind of confused me. Why was someone flashing a light through my window in a slow, controlled manner? Did it mean anything? Were they trying to get a message to me? I don't know. My brain was running wild and I was completely confused. Anyway, nothing happens for around 3 weeks. One day, when I'm doing my work again from home, I hear some posts come through the postbox. Obviously, this isn't uncommon, but when I go to get up and see what was there, nothing's been delivered. I was certain I could hear someone putting something through my postbox, as if they were fiddling around trying to push something through. But when I get there, nothing's there. I open my door and look around and nothing. No one. No sight of anyone. This is where I'm starting to get creeped out. Is someone playing a game with me? Why have I had two weird experiences in the space of 3 weeks? I go and speak to my neighbours about it and they say that they'll keep a lookout, but they've had nothing happen to them. This is where I'm getting a little bit concerned. I make sure that I keep all my doors locked at night, and I actually put a baseball bat under my bed, just in case anything happens. Now, call me paranoid, but why is this happening to me and nobody else? What do they want from me? Is it someone playing a prank on me? Have I got a stalker? What's going on? Anyway, another 3 or 4 weeks passes, and I can hear the postbox rattling again. I walk up, and I can see someone putting their hand through the postbox, but nothing coming through. I quickly run up to the door again, open it, and what I see this time is someone running down the road away from the house. This is when I realise that something's definitely off. I call the police and tell them what happened, but there's nothing they can really do about it. There's no cameras nearby, so they tell me that if anything happens again, to give them a call back. This irritates me, but I decide that the best thing to do is to make sure my house is as safe as possible and to let my neighbours know again what's been happening. Again, the neighbours say that nothing's happened with them, but they're going to keep an eye out and look out for anyone who seems suspicious near my house. Another 2 or 3 weeks pass, and at this point I can hear something coming through my postbox. This time I'm ready. I run up to the door, but as I do, I realise that a letter has just come through the postbox, so I decide not to swing the door open and startle the postman. I pick up the letter and open it, and that's when I realise it's not a normal letter. It's on a A4 sheet of paper, and all that's written in large letters is "Hi" and a smiley face underneath. And that's when I realise that someone is definitely playing a game with me. At this point, I'm ready for this person. I want to find out who it is, so I stay up all night. Because I work from home, I can do my work whenever I want to. I decide that I'm going to stay vigilant and put my work desk right next to my window. However, when I do this, nothing seems to happen for a good 3 or 4 months. I decide that maybe the person just gave up and they were playing a prank on me. In the end, I give up and put my table and desk back to where it was before. I assume that the person was giving up playing pranks on me and that they got bored or something. So everything's normal for the next 2 years. That's when all of a sudden I get a letter come through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," in the same handwriting as before. This is when I realise that things are going to start happening again. To be honest with you, I'd saved up enough money at this point to where I could just move out. And that's what I decided to do. I put my house up on the market and I move out. This is around, like I say, 15, 20 years ago now. I moved away and nothing ever has happened since. I hope this person hasn't tracked me and found out where I live now, but it's been 20 years, so I'm assuming that everything's fine. I don't know what happened to the house after I left. I was so scared. I did tell the police again, but again, there's nothing they could do. As far as I know, nothing's happened with the neighbours in that area. I keep in contact with a few of them, and sometimes we talk about it, but nothing's happened since. So whether I had a stalker, or what, I don't know. I don't know what this person wanted. I don't know if they were going to try and rob me, if they just wanted to mess with me. But why put a letter through my postbox that says, "You're in danger," 2 years after the initial letter? I don't get it. I don't get people in general, and I don't know what this person wanted with me. But I'm happy to say that I'm safe and happy where I live now, and nothing's ever happened to me since. And hopefully, this person has no clue where I am. I live in an area in England that is particularly beautiful. There's green and pleasant lands all around, and lots of country parks, which I'll get to in a moment. Me and my wife are getting to, but we're not at retirement age just yet. My knees are pretty busted up from lots of hard work throughout my working life and years of sports before that, so I can't really go on the paths I want to go on. There's a local village and a school, and my family are nearby, so we're pretty well situated. Anyway, almost every day, me and my wife try and get up and walk our dogs around these country parks. Now, there's one of them which is my favourite, but I can't really use. There's lots of hills and lots of areas that are a little bit slippery for me. I really want to be able to ride a bike up and down these hills, but I just can't manage it at the moment. So we normally avoid that one. There's another one that has a beautiful lake that runs alongside the path, which is better in the summer. And there's another one that's most nearby that is pretty flat, and it's almost like a gravel path that runs for a few miles and leads back to a general car park. So that's the one we normally take. Normally, I get the dogs in the car. We have two dogs, one called Stacy and one called Happy. I know Happy's a funny name, but our granddaughter named it. But anyway, so we take the dogs, we get them in the car, and we walk along these trails. Normally, everything's fine, but this one time, our dog Happy was acting a little bit strange. She was acting as though she was getting spooked by things, which she doesn't normally. So we kept walking and just found it a little bit odd. That's when we noticed a group of young guys walking behind us, all with their hoods up. Now, I'm not particularly worried about this. They appear just to be walking around, and who knows, they could just be a group of friends that are walking around the path too and enjoying the day. But after another half an hour of walking around, I start getting suspicious. Every single turn we make, they make too. There's various different routes you can take along this path, and they all lead back to the same place, but take various different routes to get there. The chance of someone following you on this route is pretty slim, but they follow us through every single narrow winding path, and at one point they start to get a little bit closer. Now, I'm getting kind of freaked out, and the dogs are spooked out too. My wife says sometimes dogs have a kind of sixth sense, and they can tell when something's not right. Maybe this is the case, because I turn around and I say to my wife I'm going to go speak to the guys. As I start walking towards them, they disperse and walk away into the wooded areas. Now, with my knees being bad, I can't be walking over all the broken logs and slippery leaves that are on the floor, so I just throw my hands up in the air and walk back. I say to my wife that we should head back to the car, and we decide to do that. So we slowly put the dogs on their leads and walk back to the car. As we're maybe 200 meters from the car park, these guys appear even closer to us this time. That's when they realize that we're probably going back to our car, and they start walking even faster towards us. They're probably only 20 feet behind us still, but they're really making ground on us, and with my knees aching, I can't walk much faster. I tell my wife to take the dogs and get in the car, to which she does. She jogs towards the car and puts the dogs in, but as soon as they see her jog, they start light jogging too. This is when I get really freaked out. I'm not sure if I should turn around and confront these guys, or head back to the car. I decide the best thing to do is keep walking at a normal pace, which I do. I get back to my car and my wife has put the dogs in and is sitting in the driver's seat of the car. As I'm about to open my door, the guy starts to sprint towards my car. That's when I get in my car quickly, shut and lock the doors, and tell my wife to drive. We speed off in a hurry and out the gate, just as the guys reach our car. I look back in the mirror and I can see the guys shouting at each other and pointing at each other, clearly annoyed that we'd got away. I don't really know what these guys wanted with us, and I don't know what their plans were, but I'm glad that me and my wife got away. Now, this experience isn't going to deter us from going back to these country parks again, but we're definitely going to have to stay more vigilant. This happened to me probably 8 years ago now, and I'm 20 years old now. I live in a small town. It's not necessarily in the middle of nowhere, but it's fairly remote. I'm outside of a big city, so people still pass through. I've worked the same dead-end job that I've been in since I was 16 or 17 years old. Most of my friends have moved out of town now, so I'm a bit of a loner. We still keep in touch, but you know, it's not the same when you can't see people in person. The shop that I work in is really close to this huge shopping mall. The shopping mall is inside of a quarry looking thing. If you've seen one before, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like there's massive steep hills all around and there's a shopping mall in the middle of it. It's kind of confusing to describe, but if you've seen one, you'll know. So, I work in a shop that's probably only a 15 minute walk from this shopping mall. Every single day after work, I get off probably around 5 o'clock, sometimes 7 depending on when I start, and I just go for a mooch around the shopping mall. I find there's something so relaxing about just putting your headphones in and going and buying a drink or something to eat and just looking around at clothes that you can't afford or things that you want to buy in the future. Just having a casual stroll by yourself, minding your own business and enjoying your own company. It's something that I've done since I worked in this job, and to be honest, it never gets old for me. My job can be fairly stressful sometimes. It's not necessarily the people that work there. I actually get on quite well with a lot of them, but they're not really my friends. It's the customers that are really causing me problems. They're just so rude to me sometimes, and it really gets me down. So this one day, I especially wanted just to get out, put my headphones on, and just go about my routine, and just try and decompress a little bit. Well, anyway, one day, I was walking out of work, and typically, you have to turn right and walk around these winding paths that lead to the shopping mall. It probably takes around 15 minutes, and it's on a gradual decline all the way down to the shopping mall. That's where the bus stops are too to get out. It's probably a 15 minute drive to get back to my house, and on the bus it probably takes 25 minutes. It's not too far away, and the buses run until about midnight, so I haven't got too much problem with getting home. However, I know of this other way to get down to the shopping mall. Now, this is a particularly lazy way to go about it, but it's something that me and my buddies discovered way back in the day. It probably cuts 10 minutes off the route. If you cross over the road, there's a line of shrubbery and bushes that winds all the way down the path. Now, you would think that behind these bushes is just a gate or something to stop people from falling down the hill. But no, if you push past all these bushes, there's actually a little level of a dirt road that winds all the way down. Now, I say a road, it's kind of more of a muddy track that has loads of empty cans and pieces of burnt wood and rocks and stones all around. probably only around 6 foot in length, and then it drops down into the area that leads to the shopping mall. It's a fairly steep drop, but as long as you're careful, you can sort of scoot your way down it and get to the shops so much quicker. Now, this is something we discovered way back when we were young, and it's one of those things that kids seem to know about, but adults haven't got a clue. You know, it's one of those ones. So I decided that this is the route I'm going to take. Now, like I say, I finished work at either 5 or 7, and on this day, it was 7 o'clock, and it was dark outside. Probably not the best time to be doing this, but I've never had any problems before, so why not? So I sort of barged my way through these bushes, scraping myself a little bit, but I'm fine. That's when I get onto the little path. Now, normally no one's there, but as soon as I jump down, 4 or 5 people turn around and look at me. They've all got their hoods up and things covering their faces, so I can't see who they are. I'm a little bit of a nervous person in general, so this shocks me and I don't know what to say. I go to turn around and go back up the path, but one of them grabs me and tells me not to go. This is the point where I'm really scared. They tell me to empty my pockets, to which I do. They take my phone off me and my wallet, and to be honest, I'm pretty shaken at this point. I don't know what to do. And that's when someone else says, "Take his watch too." Now, this watch is massively sentimental to me. It's something that was given to me by my father before he passed away. So, to me, this is not something I really want to give up. I started pleading with them not to take it, at which point, I can see one of them reach into their pocket, and another two reach into their coats. They start shouting things at me, but I think I'm having an anxiety attack because the words aren't making sense to me. I'm just slowly trying to backtrack whilst they're hurling abuse at me and shouting instructions to me, but I'm frozen. I don't know what to do, and I'm so scared. This is when fight or flight kicks in. It's either try and take on all these guys, or jump down this steep hill that leads to the shops. Without even thinking, I run and I jump down this hill that leads to the shops. I start rolling and tumbling and barrel rolling down this hill. I make it to the bottom, but I'm badly hurt. My leg felt broken and I couldn't move my ankle. I had a cut on the top of my head too that was bleeding quite a lot. Thankfully, someone saw me jump down and they came to help me quickly. I got taken into a little medical room that was in the back of one of the shops. They called the police for me, but there was nothing the police could do. I didn't see any of their faces and they'd run away with my stuff by now. I still had my watch on me, although the face of the watch did crack a little bit as I jumped and barrel rolled down the hill. Thankfully, I made it out safely, and to be honest with you, I'm scared to ever go back to that spot. I'll never be taking that shortcut again. I'm happy that I didn't end up getting harmed, and maybe I should have just given my watch up, but it had so much sentimental value to me, and combined with the anxiety attack and the general just surprise of what happened, I didn't know what to do in that situation. I'm not saying I made the right choice, but luckily I made it out okay. This story happened to me around 3 years ago. I'm 22 now, so I was probably about 19 when it happened. I live in a town that used to be a prosperous and vibrant town, but the recession hit it really, really hard, and for a while now it's been full of derelict buildings, just completely abandoned, with no use or purpose. Most of the time, these buildings are just left alone and they're boarded up. There's one particular building though, that's always had a reputation, even before it went abandoned. This is because there's rumours going round that it's haunted. These rumours have been around my town for about, well, it seems like forever, but it must be 70, 80 years that these rumours have been going around my town. Even my parents and grandparents knew these rumours about this one particular building being haunted. Plenty of people that have worked there have said creepy stories have happened to them when working there alone. apparently many people have seen an old woman just above the staircase next to a window. Sometimes people are outside the building and they see the old lady looking back at them, only to disappear moments after. Sometimes people have been in the house and have seen her from a distance. The lady apparently doesn't have a face and is wearing all white. But to me, this is just a complete load of nonsense. I don't believe in ghosts, and I think sometimes people see things when they want to see things. I've always been incredibly skeptical, but one day the curiosity got the better of me. So I decided that on one evening on the weekend, I'm going to head out to this building. I went with a friend, Susie. Me and Susie have been friends since school, so I knew I could trust her. She does believe in ghosts, and to be honest, that annoys me. And she's always been keen to go too. Now, she never had anyone to go with because we were each other's only friends in school. So now that I said that I was interested and wanted to go, I think she was more keen, to be honest, to prove to me that ghosts exist, rather than see anything herself. I told her that there's not much chance of this, and she just laughed. Anyway, one evening around 10 p.m, we headed out with our flashlights to this abandoned building. We didn't bring much with us because we didn't think we needed to, but to get to this building is a bit of a pain. To get to the building, you need to cross these fields. The fields are always overgrown, and there's always grass up to about waist height, but sometimes even higher. So as you can imagine, it can be quite difficult to navigate this at night. However, we did, and we made it to the front gate. We climbed over the gate that was really rusty, and I cut my finger on a bit of rust. We dropped down, and I looked down at myself, and I'm covered in paint. It must be that kind of paint they put on gates to stop people from climbing over. The anti-climbing stuff, or whatever it is. But that didn't stop us. So I looked at Susie, and she looked scared to be there. I'm not surprised. If you do believe in ghosts, I'd imagine coming into an area in the middle of night, knowing that there's potentially a ghost in there, is quite frightening. But for me, I'm just entering an abandoned building. I was more scared of people already being in there and thinking that we're trespassing on their property. Anyway, we walked through the door, and this place had a very distinct smell. It stank of damp and mould. You know that old mould smell, like it's been there for years? Kind of like that. I didn't know how safe this place was, so I said it was best that we stuck together. And that we did. We walked around this place, and for the most part saw nothing, apart from loads of graffiti on the wall and empty beer cans on the floor. It had an eerie feeling at night anyway, and I could see why people would imagine they've seen things here. But I didn't see anything. Susie thought she saw a shadow and heard some noises, but I think it was just her imagination playing tricks on her, to be honest, because I was with her the whole time, and I saw nothing. We got to the top of the staircase where this ghost has reportedly been seen, and I heard some noises outside. Initially, I thought it was my mind playing tricks on me, but I look out the window, and I see a car pull up outside, and a group of 4 or 5 people get out, all dressed in black. I couldn't make out faces because they were just too far away, but I could hear voices. As well as this, I could hear 2 German shepherds barking extremely loud and see them next to the men. This scared me, and where else would they be coming apart from in the building? Me and Susie both realised quickly that we could be in danger here, and that we could have stumbled onto something that we didn't want to be a part of. The men quickly made their way into the building, and we can hear them chatting. There was definitely some kind of transaction going on, but I couldn't figure it out. And to be honest, I didn't want any part of whatever it was. However, I heard one of the men say, "Let's make sure there's no one else in here before we start. If they are, we'll get the dogs on them." That's the part that terrified me. These dogs were huge. You know the kind of German shepherds that are like half the size of people? They were like that. Me and Susie quickly made our way into an adjacent room. There was a big storage cupboard, so I decided that the best thing to do would be to hide in there. It fell dead silent, and I could hear people coming up the stairs. I heard footsteps initially outside the door, then inside the room we're in. I was trying my best not to breathe noisily, and so was Susie. I could hear a trembling of fear in every breath she took. I put my finger to my mouth to indicate to her to be more quiet, but it was so dark I don't know if she could hear me. I could hear the dog sniffing around, and the man trying to figure out if anyone was upstairs. All of a sudden, I heard him say, "No one up here." and he made his way back down the stairs. I breathed a huge sigh of relief and stayed there for about 30 seconds just to make sure no one came back in. Now, the men were clearly in front of the door, so we couldn't get out the building and didn't really know what to do. We decided to devise a plan to get out of this place. Now, we don't know what the intentions were of these guys, but they didn't seem good, especially from the fact they seemed so secretive about what was going on. I decided the best thing to do would be to climb out of one of the windows and make our way down a pipe that was on the outside of the building. We only had to go down one floor, so as long as we did it quietly, we should be okay. This is probably a good time to mention, Susie and I are avid rock climbers and boulderers, so although we've never climbed down a pipe, we should have enough in us to make it down one floor going down a pipe. Well, that was my thinking anyway. We decided to make our way to the window as quickly and quietly as we could. I said Susie could go first. She made it out and made her way onto the pipe and was slowly squeezing the pipe and releasing herself to slowly inch her way down it. It wasn't a huge drop, maybe 15 feet, but obviously a fall at this height could really damage your ankles or any other body part you landed on, so we had to make sure we were being careful. Halfway down, I realized she wasn't moving. She whispered up that she was snagged on something and couldn't get released off of it. She was trying to pull her arm away when all of a sudden it ripped and she fell down probably 7 feet, crashing into the ground. She let out a yelp, and all of a sudden I could hear the men downstairs raising their voice and wondering what was going on. I had no time to react. I quickly jumped out the window, slid down the pipe and down to Susie. I heard one of the men say, "Was that outside or in here?" I asked Susie if she was okay, and she said that she thought she'd broken her ankle. I told her to climb onto my back and I'd carry her out. I got onto my back as quickly and as efficiently as I could, and started jogging as fast as possible towards the gate. I had no idea how I was going to climb this. Someone must have been looking down on me, but I noticed a gap between two bars at the gate that we could easily squeeze through. So I let Susie go first, and she squeezed through and then fell onto the ground. I made my way through it quickly too. As I picked her back up again, I saw a flashlight shine directly onto us. I froze in fear as I heard the men shouting that there was someone outside the gate. The man ran back inside to gather the rest of the men and the dogs. I ran as fast as I possibly could through this high grass to get back to our car. I could hear the men behind us talking and shouting, and also hear the dogs barking. We made it back to the car, and I quickly opened the door. Susie got in first, and I got in the back. I told her to keep down, and we'll stay low. And that's what we did. We didn't drive off. We didn't start the car. We didn't have time. We stayed as low as we possibly could in the car, hoping that they wouldn't look through the window. After about 15 seconds, I could hear voices, and I could see flashlights going into the trees just behind my car, and also through the window of my car. Thankfully, they never came up close, and they kept walking past. Due to being inside the car, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but the dogs were no longer barking, and I could hear voices. It felt as if they were looking for us for an eternity, but it was probably only a few minutes. The men made their way back to the building, and we stayed there for about 30 minutes before I decided to get into the driver's seat of the car and drive us back home. When we got back, we were pretty shaken up, but we vowed to never tell anyone about it, mostly because we didn't want to get in trouble and we didn't want people to think we were idiots. But yeah, that's my story and one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. So, this happened to me this summer, and I feel lucky to be alive. Me and a group of friends have always enjoyed camping. We have these beautiful country trails just near where I live, and every summer we hike up there two or three times over the course of 2 or 3 months. We typically stay there for the night, or sometimes 2 nights, depending on how we feel. The area is known to have grizzly bears, but we've been going there years and we've never seen one. We got quite complacent and we decided to head up there without any bear spray and not really caring about where we set up camp. So, to make a long story kind of short. A group of five of us drove up there, found a clearing, and set up camp. We had some issues with our tent, but it was a beautiful summer's night and extremely warm, so I wasn't too worried about how long it took to set up the camp, as we had plenty of lights. It's just kind of more ideal if you set up during the daytime. It was good to see all my friends. We hadn't met up in so long, since everyone lives in different towns and works different jobs. We used to do this quite regularly when we were young, back in college and whatnot, but since then, some of these friends I hadn't seen since last summer, so it was great to see them again. We cracked open the beers and had a really good night. We woke up feeling a little bit worse for wear, but me and my friend Luke were early risers, so we woke at around 7:30 in the morning. We decided that while the others were sleeping, we were going to tidy some stuff up. We'd made quite a bit of a mess the night before. There were beer cans on the floor and just general waste everywhere. So Luke got out the tent and started clearing that up while I packed some things up from inside the tent. All of a sudden, I heard Luke go, "Psst, psst," and said my name. He said it in a way that alerted me instantly. I thought he was just playing games on me, so I laughed and joked with him to come in the tent if he wanted to speak to me, as I had a headache. He did the noise again and said he wasn't joking. I slowly made my way out, and as I looked round the corner, probably 30 feet away from us, was the biggest grizzly bear I've ever seen in my life. It was huge, but it didn't look as though it had seen us. If you don't know about grizzly bears, they are extremely dangerous animals when you're invading their privacy and their space, and we were most definitely doing that. Now, being 30 feet away from a grizzly might not sound that dangerous, but these creatures are incredibly fast, incredibly territorial, and wouldn't hesitate to kill every single one of us. I slowly made my way back to the tent, trying not to alert it. It didn't appear to know we were here, but I'm sure they have a great sense of smell and knew that something was nearby. Trembling, I made my way back to the tent. I shook my friends, told them to be quiet, and told them what was happening. They woke up groggy and couldn't believe what I was saying. That's when Luke backed into the tent. We slowly zipped up the tent, and we made everyone remain as quiet as possible. We didn't have time to make it down the trail, as if we started walking out this tent and making noise, it would certainly alert the bear. This thing must have been 7 or 8 feet tall, and I don't want to guess how many pounds it weighed. It was huge. All of a sudden, we heard the cracking of sticks in the distance, which gradually got closer and closer. We remained silent. I was trembling, as I knew what could happen in this situation. I tried to keep everyone calm and tell them to remain as quiet as they possibly can, not to alert this bear. About a minute passed, and I saw a shadow on the back of the tent. The shadow looked huge, and it was moving. This was definitely the bear sussing out what was there. We could hear it walking around the tent, sniffing. We remained completely silent. This felt like it lasted an eternity. It was probably only around 1 minute, but the sound of the bear walking around our tent, sniffing, occasionally clawing at it, scared the life out of me. I can't remember the situation too well, as I feel like some kind of survival mode kicked in my head, but what I do remember is the sound of my heart beating and my brain racing. We must have stayed in that tent for another 3 hours, remaining completely silent and just deciding when to leave. We didn't want to open the tent and the bear was just sitting there outside, so we thought we'd give it time to get away. It probably got to around midday when we decided to first leave that tent. I looked around and there were clear marks where the bear had been walking around. We decided to leave our tent there and get back down the trail as quick as we possibly could. We did that and we alerted the park ranger about it. We felt stupid for not bringing any bear spray with us because that could save our life in this kind of situation. We decided that we wouldn't let it put us off us camping up there, but we'd find a different spot. And also we'd take the necessary precautions next time we did this. So to cut this story off here, please don't be like me. Take the necessary precautions, and there's safety warnings for a reason.